The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
The first usable auto road into the Rim Country was the Apache Trail, a direct result of the construction of Roosevelt Dam. But it wasn't until 1958 that they got pavement.
Oh, I believe that. Well, we got here in 65 and I-17 wasn't even done. You had to leave I-17 and go around Black Canyon City.
That would be some bumpy rides.
Oh, man.
Those old cars.
It would. Folks, we're here this morning talking water safety with the water safety official spokesman of the state of Arizona, Mr. Dave Muncy. Again, Dave, thanks for joining us to cover this important topic. It's not our intent to be a downer here this Saturday morning, but with the swim season just launching off here, we wanted it to bring it top of mind to everyone.
You know, I'll tell you just a quick story. When I started the program 40-some years ago now, some of the people in management came to me and said, "We don't want you doing this. You're scaring people." And I said, "That's what I'm trying to do." And we had kind of a go around about that. But it took them a little while, but they finally got on board with it. But yeah, you're right. It's not a happy subject. It's unless you're talking about saving a child,
yes,
rather than losing one.
Well, you did some creative things to get the message out. Stickers.
Oh, yes, we did a lot of those.
And before you wrote your book, you said you were an author because you'd written 4 coloring books for kids.
Six coloring books that we wrote. So I published 6 coloring books before I wrote the book Muncy Business. Yeah, we tried to do things. The stickers were really in. And I would give the kids a sticker I would put on their shirt, and then I would rip one off and not take it off of the paper and say, "Put this on the refrigerator when you get home." And mothers were coming up to me for years going, "I got one of these stickers on my refrigerator. It's been on there for 10 years. And I would always say, "You've got a really good refrigerator." But we got those stickers out. Kids love stickers. We had the coloring books, but we had a problem because our crayons kept melting.
Oh.
That was our... We were giving coloring books out without crayons after a while. But we handed out probably a 500,000 stickers and over 600,000 coloring books.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. I just wanted to wrap this topic up with a couple things. Again, there but the grace of God go I.
Yes.
It could happen to any of us.
Yes.
You know, and the guilt that you would feel afterwards is overwhelming. I think it's important for people to know they've come out with some new CPR regulations saying that you don't have to do the breath. You can just do chest compressions. But if you have a drowning victim, you have to be able to know CPR with the breaths and the compressions. So if you're a mom or person who's around kids or anybody, you should have CPR. And then just watch your kids.
And we always recommend putting a CPR chart in the pool area just to give you a reminder of what to do and how to do it. And you should also have important numbers in the pool area as well.
True.
All right, Dave, let's switch the subject a little bit, because the other thing that you're as well known for, of course, is weather forecasting. And I have to ask you, I've been here since 66, and I don't know that I can remember. We have had some nice springs in the last 10 years. I'm going to say we've had 4 or 5 nice springs out of the last decade, but I'm not sure any of them were this nice, where the 100 degrees held off for so long, and we had so few warm days coming into the middle of July. Where could I go to test my memory as to whether I'm just remembering it wrong, or yes, that's in fact the case?
Well, if you go way back, if you go back 30 years, when I first started working here, I started working here about 42, 43 years ago. And in those days, everything was exactly as it should be. We had these wonderful winters where we had just this beautiful weather all the way through. When June came, we had this very slow warm up, and it would be about the middle of June we'd start hitting the 100 degree temperatures. We might hit one in April or May, but it would back off again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, those temperatures started warming up earlier and earlier and earlier. And so now, after all these years, you get a really nice May and you get a really nice June, and everybody's going, "Oh, this is just the most wonderful." Used to be that way all the time. That's the way it used to be. And so what you were doing is you were kind of looking at it was a remembrance spring that we had this year. It's the way it used to be. And your temperatures would be back and forth in the month of June. June, of course, is your hottest month. So it is unusual to see these things back off of the 100s in June. And that I have to say, I enjoyed it as much as everybody else did. But I wasn't in the weather center, so I don't know what the statistical data was. I don't know when the first high degree 100-degree temperature came or all that. If I were working, I would know all that.
You're not still glued to all those numbers, huh?
Yeah, well,
no,
you know,
taking
the other
a break.
The other night, my mother-in-law called, and my wife and I were in a restaurant, and she called from North Dakota, and she wanted to know if there was a storm coming. So I looked on my phone to look at my radar, and the guy next to me said, "You mean you don't know that by heart anymore?" And I said, "No, I don't follow it as much as I should." And I mentioned that to some friends the other day. I said, "I don't know the weather every day. I used to know
that
everything."
That surprises me.
Yeah.
But I bet you still catch yourself throwing your eye to the sky.
Oh, I still do that, yeah. You know.
You get up on the roof of the house with a microphone and just...
You bet, yeah. I mean, some of the old-timers back in my hometown of Jamestown, North Dakota, when they found out I was doing weather, I would be home on vacation and they would say, "You want to know the weather? You look up." And that was the way they always knew the weather. You just look up.
Yeah, and I would imagine Jamestown, North Dakota, big sky country. I mean, you can see horizon to horizon.
Oh, yeah. You can see
see something coming from a long ways
off. You can see quite a bit. You can see something for quite a ways, you bet.
Oh, man. Now, where did you get your first interest in meteorology?
Well, I guess I would have to say growing up in North Dakota, it wasn't necessarily an interest in meteorology. It was an interest in the weather. And, you know, weather in North Dakota changes every half hour. And so, especially in the summertime, and one of the things that you forget about is, you know, weather in your home state when you move away. But I got caught in a rainstorm the last time I was back there, and I forgot how hard it rains. I mean, it just about washed me off the road. I had to pull over and stop driving for a while. And it was just kind of a normal downpour. So it surprised me as to how harsh the storms are back there, because you forget. And I haven't been back for a winter storm for years, and I don't intend to. So, I mean, that's the tough stuff. They had a guy that lived on the North Dakota-South Dakota border, and they surveyed his land. And they went up to him, and they said, "Sven, we just found out that from surveying that you don't live in North Dakota. You live in South Dakota." And Sven said, "Oh, thank God for that. I don't think I could take another one of them North Dakota winters."
All right. You will be at this year's Payson Book Festival.
I will be. I'll be speaking as well. I'm going to speak at 9:15. I'll speak from 9:15 until 10. I'll be talking about my book and how I wrote the book and some of the problems I ran into with it and just some general things. And then we'll be taking questions as well.
You know, it was really funny when you were talking with Rosie before the beginning of the broadcast. I've just had this conversation with our team. You know, everything we do revolves around word count, and depending on what platform you're going to will determine your word count. For 60 seconds of radio, we want at least 130 words. For 30 seconds, you know, you want it down under 70. For blog articles on the website, you don't want to go over 500 because the scrolling goes too long and it doesn't get read. You were coming in here talking about 120,000 words that you were trying to get, that your publisher wanted you to get under 100,000.
That's right. Yeah, it was 126. We actually got it down to 118. And one other thing about water safety, just to jump back in there, it is the largest chapter in the book. I cover just about every question that anybody ever had. I talk about the good parts about the program, and there were some bad things as well. Yeah, people didn't realize I got a lot of hate mail over the water safety program.
No,
you wouldn't think that you would, but I did. And I explain that in the book.
And the book, Muncie Business, is basically an autobiography of your career here in the Valley. It's in the radio and TV industry.
It's an autobiography of my 42 years in Phoenix in radio and television, and the time and places that I went to get here.
You know, it's really an opportunity because, Dave, you're an award winner in many areas, and the Key Journalistic Society's award.
Yes.
And Silver Circle. Let's see. you're a member of the Silver Circle, and you earned that award. And a lot of the authors at the Payson Book Festival are award-winning. Romy, you put on here about the inductees for the Arizona Music and Entertainment Hall of Fame on Tuesday. Some of these people are also at the book festival, including Bob Bowes Bell, Marshall Trimble, and others. So, you know, it's really a great opportunity to meet some really wonderful people and wonderful authors if you take the time to get up there on the July 20th.
Arizona is loaded with authors, very talented authors. And one other thing that I want to mention about all of the book festivals, but also Payson, is there are so many children's books. Bring the kids. There are a lot of children. Get the kids reading. It's so important that children read.
Great point. And when you attend the festival, you'll be able to buy the book.
Absolutely.
If you can't make the festival, how could someone get the book?
Muncie Business is available on Amazon.com. It's available on Kindle. It's available at both Changing Hands bookstores, and the books in Changing Hands are all signed. It's also available at Sibley's West in Chandler.
Oh, okay.
And if you're taking an exotic vacation, it's available in the Dakota store in Jamestown, North Dakota.
How about Wall Drug?
I could get it in there, I'm sure.
I bet you could.
Well, the real reason we haven't been to the festival, Dave, is because I hardly have a place to live anymore. Rosie is a huge book collector, so thank you for the book that you brought. But if
you're
I
welcome.
Let him go, we're going to be taking a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. A lot of people come up and buy a lot of books, and I mentioned bring the kids. It's because I see so many kids, especially at the Payson Festival. People bring the kids in, and the kids like to look through the books and pick up a couple while they're there.
It's funny scrolling through it, just all the names that I really don't know who they are, but I just remember hearing them from driving around with Dad, going to all the different construction sites. KTAR would always be on, and Preston Westmoreland was on air. And I mean, I'm scrolling through here. I see Jude LaCava. That was a name I heard. Ron Bergamo. I mean, the names that I probably couldn't tell you exactly who they were, but just names you constantly heard in that time frame.
People that have read the book have referred to it as a history book of a certain period in Phoenix and in broadcasting. And that period is basically the period from when the microwave and the satellite trucks first got here and took us out of the studio, put us in the city and in your backyard.
How cool. Well, I know you brought this copy for Dad, but he's going to have to arm wrestle me for it. In the back.
Yeah, I'm real lucky. The book has now just been put into my high school library in Jamestown.
Oh, cool.
And it's also in the Alfred E. Dickey Free Library in Jamestown, North Dakota as well. So people can now go check it out. It's kind of fun.
Very good.